Today's date is December 26, 2024. Hello, and welcome to the podcast Enough, the People's Perspective on the Current Political State of the United States of America. Volume 4 is entitled What's Next? Our nation is still hurting. The prices of daily necessities are through the roof. The cost of living is not reflective in our paychecks. The word affordable is non-existent in the ledgers of major corporations and in the mindset of business professionals. The mindset of the corporate elites and their shareholders is that of the bottom line, their profit margins, that which separates the working class from the elite class, quote, their money, unquote. Who would have thought that the United States of America would have evolved into a social caste system where birthright determines one's success? Gone, it seems, are the days when industries manufactured products in America. Gone, it seems, are the days of upward socioeconomic mobility based on an individual's work performance in the workplace. Gone, it seems, are the days when hard work led to the acknowledgement by superiors and monetary compensation was the reward for your exceptional work ethic. Gone are the days when mom-and-pop businesses were the backbone of the American economy. It only took the business elites, quote, major corporations, unquote, 30 some odd years to decimate the mom-and-pop economies in our communities. Corporations created slanted playing fields which favored them. With the use of lobbyists as well as deep pockets, major corporations enticed government officials to redraft the rules for playing on the corporate fields. The new rules forced the opposing teams, quote, small businesses, unquote, like mom-and-pop hardware stores, local grocery stores, local pharmacies, and even the American manufacturing industry to abandon the playing on the corporate fields. The corporate fields were constructed at a slant, and by design, only the goalposts of the corporate teams were moved to distances that were further away from their competitors. The corporate goalposts were placed at the top of the hill, several yards away from the edge of the hill. During game days, corporations made sure to always have access to the high ground on all fields. As the corporate elite's teams played the finance game, kicking the ball downhill, we the people cheered them on to victory from the stands. It was we the people who ushered into the arena with cheer the current business climate of the bottom line shareholder first mentality that is present in today's society. A shareholder is defined as a person who owns share in a company and therefore gets a part of the company's profits. In addition to earning profits, shareholders have the right to vote on how a company is controlled and ran. The shareholders first mentality has transformed the American political system into a cynical form of self-governance while impacting our role on the world stage in a most negative manner. We all thought that the discounts which resulted in the decimation of the small business economies in our communities while eliminating competitors from the playing fields was to our advantage. But we were all wrong. in supporting the destruction of the small business economies in our communities. As we chose to spend our money and supported the conglomeration of the corporate industries which have monopolized the world's economy. Gone are the days when America was respected for its democratic values, its resolve, its ingenuity, and our military might. We were the unmatched, majestic, elegant elephant in the room with indomitable strength. Currently, streaks of tigers, like wolf packs, are salivating with the notion of American isolationism that has invaded the American psyche and the political landscape of the United States of America. There is something to be said about capitalism and the need for equity. Equity is defined as the quality of being fair and impartial. Equity of treatment is defined as the consistent and systematic treatment of all people in a fair, just, and impartial manner. In today's workplace, there is much to be said about equity and that of the profit margins of the corporate elites as well as their shareholders. The current American economy is not working for the working class. There is a concentration of wealth amongst fewer and fewer people than at any point in our nation's history. In the past 30 to 40 years, the top 10% of the nation's wealthiest people have come to hold 90% of the nation's wealth, proving that the American economy is slanted towards benefiting the wealthy. The American dream is purposely being denied to more and more people than ever before. What happened to pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and working your way to the top? This notion was laid to bed a while ago. The American economy was drastically shifted 30 to 40 years ago when business leaders decided to outsource American jobs, American manufacturing jobs, to other nations around the world. In the late 80s and early 90s, the business elite simply decided that sharing profits with their workers by paying them a fair wage for their labor was cutting too much into their personal profits. In their quest for larger profits, shareholders and the business sector abandoned the Made in America brand for the Made in China or elsewhere brand. Truth be told, our leaders simply chose to abandon the American worker. Many of the older generational leaders who directly supported and benefited from the abandonment of the American worker long ago are currently running and will run our national government post the inauguration of 2025. I find it interesting that many of the current and future top government officials do not need to divulge their taxes, net worth, or need to report their personal assets to the American people who voted them into office. The fact that top government officials do not need to divulge how they earn their extra income is a direct conflict of interest for the American people. After all, government officials make decisions that affect all people living in America, especially the American worker. Government officials also make decisions that impact the American economy. The question for me becomes, what's next for the United States of America? Food for thought. On the domestic front, will top government officials leading the United States of America act on the behest of the people, or will they act like shareholders and lead America down a slippery slope for their personal interests. Will the United States remain united, or will some states attempt to secede from the Union? Will trickle-down economics trickle down to the working class? Will our economy survive a severe trade war within our globally interconnected world economy? Will American isolationism force our government to turn its back on our allies? On the world stage, will our allies turn their backs on the United States of America? Will our allies legitimize China, Russia, North Korea, and the Saudis as key players on the world stage and choose to do business with them while boxing the United States out of their economies? Will China take Taiwan? Will Russia get to keep all or some of Ukraine? Will the Middle East be rebuilt and ruled by the Saudis with Israel's blessing? Will North Korea gain nuclear capabilities within the next 4 years or shortly after? Will the United States of America stand down and allow the world to question our democracy as well as our defense of democratic principles around the world? These are more than interesting times that we are living in. We are so much of the nation's future and that of the world's future is in the hands of officials who abandoned the Made in America brand more than 30 to 40 years ago. To the masses, I say, sit firmly in your seat, buckle up tightly, and pay attention to the policies coming out of the White House, because the next 4 years will be filled with many ups and downs. To our leaders, I say, enough with the partisan bickering. The election cycle is over. For the sake of the United States of America, let's get down to the business of governing in an equitable manner. In closing, may our leaders use good faith policies, reward the working class for our exceptional work ethics, and uplift all people who live in this great nation, the United States of America. Once again, if this podcast has struck a chord with you, and you would like to ask questions, respond to a topic, or would like to offer support to this podcast, feel free to reach out to me. My email address is getitoffofyourchest@gmail.com. No spaces. My name is The Mediator. In closing, if this podcast is resonating with you, please share it with as many people as you can. Thank you.